Good morning, everyone. Today's first reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for fruit, food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And the second of today's reading is from the book of Revelation, beginning verse 1 of chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true."
Let me tell you about Tom. Tom's married to Kate. They're in their mid-30s. They have a young son. At 3 o'clock in the morning, Tom finds himself wide awake, stressing about how he's going to pay the bills, where his career's going, and how many weekends he's got left on this planet if he lives to an average age. At 4 o'clock, he's still awake, and so he grabs his phone and he starts scrolling through his feed. He says, it feels like he's been let loose in a shopping centre in the middle of the night. He crashes back to sleep at 5. And he wakes up exhausted. How are you going? How are you feeling? If when we're chatting at morning tea today, would you say things like this? That you're busy, you're stressed, you're overwhelmed, you're trying to juggle everything, you're just exhausted. So what do we do with that? And as Christian people, what do we do with that? Well, this morning, as Luke said, I want to try and think about what the Bible says about rest. And the way we're going to do that is in two parts. This first part is really going to be riding in the helicopter across the whole Bible and what it says about rest. We're not going to be able to touch on everything, but we're going to be able to put some big pegs in the ground. We'll then sing a song, and then we'll come back and think about some of the practicalities. There's an outline there in your leaflet or online. So let me pray and ask that God might speak to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a speaking God. And so we ask now, please, would you come and by your Spirit, take your word and make it alive to us, that we might know your voice speaking into our lives. Please help us to respond, trusting you. Amen. Well, the Bible opens with this wonderful picture of God who is powerful and creative, and just by speaking, he makes things happen. And at the end of this great sequence of events where God brings everything into being, we read these words. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. See, God is a worker, he is wonderfully creative, but he also rests. But this is not the rest of exhaustion. This is not like God's saying, oh man, like, I've had 6 days, I've been hard at it, I've been creating the universe, and I've just run out of puff. I need to put my feet up, have a pina colada. No, this is not the rest of exhaustion. This is the rest of completion. Notice how verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Everything is just the way God intended. Everything is in right relationship. God and people, people with each other, people with the world. This is just how God wanted it to be. It is complete. It is whole. So when we're thinking about what rest is completion and wholeness. And did you notice, as Stema was reading the passage, that all through chapter 1, there's this recurring phrase, there was evening, there was morning, the second day, evening, morning, fifth day, and so on. But notice, it's not here. It's as if the seventh day, this day of rest, is to be ongoing. God is inviting all his creation to enter into his rest in an ongoing, unbroken way. God wants his creation, including people, to enjoy resting with him, that they would experience wholeness and completion. So the Bible begins by putting this big peg in the ground, saying creation and people are to enjoy, are invited into this rest, that you would be complete and whole as you relate to God. Well, if that's how the Bible begins, how does it end? Well, once again, we have this picture of God dwelling with people. Once again, there is wholeness. The word rest is not used, but certainly the concept is there. But once again, everything is in right relationship because God is dwelling with his people. And the old order of things has been dealt with. The order of sin and death and all the terrible stuff that comes with that. It's all been dealt with because of Jesus' wonderful atoning death, his mighty resurrection. And so God can say, now I am making everything new. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Once again, all creation is invited to enter into rest, that everything would be complete and whole. So, the Bible begins saying there is rest, and it ends in rest. This is where God is taking things. So, what happens between the bookends? Well, sin enters the world, it's a disaster, but God has a plan. He establishes a people for himself. He rescues that people, brings them out of slavery in Egypt. And he says, now that I've made you my people, now that you belong to me, here's how I want you to live. And so he gives them those instructions, and we know them as the Ten Commandments. And that includes the capacity to rest. So we read in Exodus 20 that God has set aside a day where his people are to rest, one day in seven, where they can down tools, and God invites them to experience rest. Notice Moses, as he explains this, ties this to what happened in creation, that just as God rested from his creating, so too you are to rest. God is a worker who rests and enjoys, and now he wants you to do the same. This is to be a day to the Lord, a day that will honour him, a day that will be the one that you can enjoy entering into rest with him. And God, in his kindness, as they wander through the wilderness for 40 years, he makes that possible because he provides food so that they don't have to work on day seven. They can enjoy everything that is good, everything in right relationship with God. Interestingly, at the end of their time during the 40 years, just as they're about to enter into the Promised Land, Moses restates the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, but instead of tying it to creation, he ties it to redemption. He says, rest, enjoy the Sabbath, because you were once slaves in Egypt. Now, what's a slave? A slave doesn't have the opportunity to rest. The master cracks the whip and you have to work. But God's not like that. God rescues his people. You are no longer slaves. God is a kind and generous master, one who invites you to enter into his rest, to be complete, to be whole. So for God's Old Testament people, Sabbath was part of copying, recognizing who God is, living for him, having that one day in the week where they could down tools and experience this sense of wholeness, completion, everything being in right relationship. Now, sin messes things up, including messing up Sabbath, and there's a whole lot of stuff we could deal with there, but let me jump forward to the New Testament. Jesus arrives on the scene, and a lot of the controversy that he has with the Jewish leadership of the day revolves around Sabbath. So I've given you a reference in Matthew 11 and 12, which I think summarizes Jesus' attitude to Sabbath. Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, he's saying, I am Lord of the Sabbath. But hang on, what did we find when we're in the Old Testament? Who's Lord of the Sabbath? Well, God is. So for Jesus to claim that he's Lord of the Sabbath is a claim to divinity, that he is God. He is the one who rules the Sabbath. And he issues this most wonderful invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am offering you rest, says Jesus. All that the Sabbath had tried to encapture, all of it points to Jesus, that we would find rest, we would find completion, we would find wholeness in him. Jesus steps into a synagogue and there's a man with a withered arm. And he heals him. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders go off their tree and what are you doing healing a man? That's work on a Sabbath. But Jesus said, no. It's entirely appropriate if Sabbath is about completion and wholeness. I've made this man whole once again. My brothers and sisters, as Christian people, you have entered into rest. Hebrews will tell us that all who have faith in Christ have entered into the rest of Jesus. And we know where God is taking things. We know that he's going to usher in this new creation where once again his people will dwell with him and they will experience rest in all its fullness. That's where God's taking things. And so Hebrews will not only say you have entered into this rest, but persevere. I want to urge you, encourage you, persevere in this faith so that you will experience that rest in all its fullness. You have that rest now, and one day you will experience it in all its fullness. Jesus says to us, come to me, come to Jesus, and find rest, find completion and wholeness. Last thing to say in this little section is the theology of Old Testament Sabbath doesn't get picked up and transferred to the Christian Sunday. So in the New Testament, we get hints of the Lord's Day for Christians, and so most people seem to agree that it was called the Lord's Day because that's the Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. But if you're one of the first Christians, Jewish background, you would celebrate Sabbath on the Saturday, but then Sunday would be a work day, and so you'd have to celebrate the Lord's Day after work. The theology of Old Testament Sabbath doesn't get taken and put into Christian Sunday. Jesus says, if you want to find rest, it's in me. Now, having said that, the New Testament also gives lots of Christian freedom when it comes to how we think about days. So I've given you the reference there in Romans 14. So if you're the sort of person who says, Sundays are really, really special and important and they're different from every other day of the week, Romans 14 says, that's terrific. Do that unto the Lord. Honour God in that way. If you're the sort of person who says, every day of the week's much the same, Romans 14 will say, do that to the Lord. Honour him with that. And whether you think one day is very special or all days are the same, don't look down your nose at your Christian brother or sister. Don't judge them. So we actually have a lot of freedom. My brothers and sisters, we find rest in the Lord Jesus. I'm going to invite the band to come, and they're going to help us reflect and capture something of that as we sing, that we might be grounded, we might have peace, we might have rest, knowing that we're right with God through faith in Christ.